Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
2 months ago, I shipped a tiny AI tool that looks at a CSV file and asks better questions than I can on day two at a new job. It went way further than I'd expected, and it showed me what I had missed. So I rebuilt it. Today, I'll share what worked, what didn't, and I'll give you a short quiz, a discussion prompt, and a checklist that you can use. Hey, I'm Mukundan. This show is about solving real problems with small useful AI. Things that you can actually use today. Each week, we pick one problem, build a simple workflow or tool, and talk through the decisions about what to automate, how to check quality, and how to make it reliable. If you're a builder, creator, or just AI curious, you'll leave with the steps that you can copy tonight. Hit follow and start with the Starter Pack episodes in the show notes. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Data and AI with Mukundan Show. Today, we'll talk about how I built an AI tool that helped look at CSV files and Excel files and generate questions from it and how I took it to the next level. This is about that story. You join a new team. Here's why this exists. They call it the day two problem. You join a new team in a company, and maybe let's just say, or even you join a new company, and someone will send you this data set without any context and no goals about what you want to achieve with this data. It's just, they just tell you with pressure, right? Just pressure, that's all it is. And version one of my tool, when I first did this, this project before, it helped me by generating 10 smart exploratory data analysis questions, like the EDA questions, each with a short why this matters. And it gave me like a plan instead of me panicking about it, right? So I'd built this tool before. I called this version one, right? And what happened was I created this like exploratory data analysis tool. What basically it would take your CSV file, and then it would generate questions from it, give you like 10 smart questions to ask this data set, right? That will help you really to understand the data, and it'll also give you like a why this question matters statement as well. So it gives you like a plan, right, so to speak, like it give you like what to do. It gives you a plan instead of like, you know, you panicking about it. So when I did this, when I did the first version of this, it went viral. A lot of people were able to resonate with it. Some even, you know, some reacted to the blog post I'd written. It was a blog post with code, and I'll link to the blog post as well. So I'll tell you what worked, why it went viral, and what was missing in this version one. So people liked three things. They liked that there was a fast grip, right? I mean, you would be able to get really useful questions from the data in under a minute. And that's really quick, right? Like, I mean, otherwise you're just spending hours and hours, maybe days and days, just looking at the data set without knowing what to answer. And especially when you're looking at it fresh, you don't know what's going on and you don't know what question to ask. We don't know how to answer that because A, you don't know what question to ask really, right? You don't want to be doing count distinct, right? It's a SQL query if you're not familiar with it. Count distinct will basically, in a way, just count the unique records or something, right? Of whatever is the number of, whatever is the table you're looking at. So let's say you want to look at the number of, let's say you want to look at the number of cars, and you would do that by, let's say, car ID, right? You have something called as a car ID field. So you would be using count distinct to see how many, unique cars there are in this showroom, for example, right? So that was something that will not really help, but we want to be asking some more useful questions. And I'll talk about what questions those are and everything as we go down, but I just wanted to give you some background about this. So the other thing people liked was like it acted like a partner, gave you a vibe of a partner where it nudges but doesn't give you like a dashboard dump, right? It's not like dumping everything on you. It's just like being your partner, right? Your supportive partner. And so it's basically giving you those questions, and then once you have those questions, all you have to do is just use your analytical skills to answer those questions. And there was also a respect for time. That's the third thing people liked, because it was short, clear, and it was human. So to recap, people liked three things because it was A, fast; B, acted like your partner; and three, it respected your time. So I feel like I still missed three key pieces. That's what people said. I mean, that's what I believe, right, as well. I hadn't mentioned what was the business objective upfront and why am I doing this exercise? Why am I doing this little project, this AI tool? Why did I build that? I didn't really mention any objective upfront. And I also did not focus on any columns, right? I treated basically every feature the same. And everyone knows that if you treat every column in your table as the same, how is that going to, really help you, right? And I also wanted to give an option to export the data set or export the, questions and everything. So that was missing as well. So there's no export feature to available, no export feature which was available to drop it into Slack or even into Notion or your Jira board, right? So that was something I felt was missing. So I wanted to take that to the next level. Here were some lessons that helped me rebuild this. So I wanted to first put the decision in the room first. Spend attention like money. Attention in this case would be time, and time is money. So focus on what I wanted to do, what problem I wanted to solve, and like a little one-page brief so that the work actually moves. Here's how the rebuild actually took place. The three simple features. Now, before anything else, the tool asks, what outcome are you trying to move? So this is the objective input, the why box, right? So let's talk about that. So just to ask yourself, like, what outcome are you trying to move? So example is you want to reduce 30-day churn for monthly plan users by 15%. An optional mode would be risk, opportunity, anomaly, or quick wins to shape the tone. Result, questions became specific and useful. And then I wanted to also do a column focus, the second simple feature. One was the objective input. So what outcome I'm trying to move, right? And the second one, more on the columns. And this is specifically how much columns I want. 5 to 8 columns only is what I chose. And up to 8 columns were except smart hints. Right? Ask for the, that. So you should want to be able to look at the data quickly. If you look at 30 columns together, like you want to pick out every feature, how is that going to help? So that is not a time-saving tool. Or maybe it saves a little bit, but not as much as you would want, right? So the column focus, where we picked up to 8 columns or accept any smart hints, and the tool concentrates its thinking budget on what matters and warns about any leakage or messy labels. So that was number 2. And then number 3 was markdown export. So ship the plan. So one click and you get a clean brief. So the objective, in your own words, you'll mention top 10 questions and why this matters. Those three, that was already there. And data health checks, quick analysis to run risks and next decisions. And also paste it into a Slack, Notion and Jira and go, right? So before anything else, like I mentioned, like these were the three rebuild features, simple features that I worked on. The objective input, where we're trying to figure out what outcome you're trying to move. The column focus, where you're picking up to 8 columns or accepting any smart hints. The markdown export, right, where you're able to export the data set and export the questions, really, like objective, the 10 questions, why this matters, the data health checks, quick analysis to run, and risks and any next decisions. All right, so here's a fun session for you. Lightning quiz that I have for you. Here's a quick quiz that I just prepared, and I'll read the answers right after, and I'll give you some time to think if you're listening, so that, like, you know, I don't want to directly prompt the answers and maybe just give you a few seconds to think. First, I'll just give you the questions and then you can think about it, and then, you know, obviously give me the answers. Well, I mean, the answers I will be giving you, but you can also come up with your own. You can also send me on chat, just so that I know you're listening and you're paying attention. So yeah, just quick quiz. I'll read the answers right after. So pause if you need more time. Question 1. True or false? Start exploratory data analysis or EDA by uploading the data and exploring the charts, right? So I'll just repeat this again. True or false? Start EDA by uploading data and exploring charts. So it's telling you that as soon as you upload the data and explore the charts, you need to start EDA. Question 2. You have 50 columns. What do you focus on? 5 to 8, that's option A. Option B, 20 to 25. Option C, all 50.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
What comes first? Writing a business objective, option A. Cleaning every column, option B. And option C, running 20 plots. Question 4. If you were asked to predict the 30-day churn, and you're asked what was the leakage here, would it be 10-year days on day 1? Would it be churned in 30 days? Or would it be region? So just to, like, reiterate, leakage means really the target variable. right? If you're asked to be predicting the 30-day churn, what would be the target variable? Would it be the 10-year days on day one? Would it be churned in 30 days? Or would it be region? So there's three options, right? I'll just repeat that options again just so that you guys are clear. Option A, 10-year days on day one. Option B, churned in 30 days. And option C, region. And finally, question 5. So just to reiterate, what is the best artifact after an exploratory data analysis? Is it option A, dashboard gallery? Is it option B, a one-page markdown brief? Or is it option C, a raw notebook? Question 1, true or false? Start EDA. Would you start EDA by uploading the data and exploring charts? Question 2, when you have 50 columns, what would you focus on? 5 to 8 columns, option A. Option B, 20 to 25 columns. Or option C, all 50 columns. Question 3, what comes first? A, writing a business objective. B, cleaning every column. Or C, running 20 plots. And question 5, what would be the best artifact to give after an EDA? Would it be a dashboard gallery? Would it be a one-page markdown brief? As option B is one page markdown and option A is dashboard gallery. And option C, would it be a raw notebook? Here we go with the answers. So the answer 1 to true or false, it's false. So you would first start with a decision, right? You wouldn't directly just do EDA. That's what it means really, upload data and do EDA. It's not how it works. You need to be understanding the business question and everything. So don't directly jump into exploring charts. Answer 2 is 5 to 8 columns. So I asked, how many columns would you choose? Like if you have 50 columns, which would you focus on? The answer is 5 to 8 columns. You don't want to be overburdening yourself, right? So that's something you would tell the AI to do as well. Answer 3. What comes first? Between writing a business objective, cleaning every column, or running 20 plots, the objective comes first. So the options were writing a business objective, cleaning every column, or running 20 plots. So writing a business objective comes first. Question 4 was predicting 30-day churn. What was the output variable? Was it 10-year days on day one? Was it churned in 30 days, or was it region? The answer is churned in 30 days because that is the target variable. Question 5. What was the best artifact after an exploratory data analysis? Is it a dashboard gallery, one-page markdown brief, or raw notebook? Answer is one-page brief. So those were the answers. So again, just to reiterate, answer 1 was false. So you don't directly start EDA. You first start with the business question, really, what you decided to do. So that is 1. Answer 2 was if you have 50 columns, you focus on 5 to 8 columns first. So question 3, what comes first between writing a business objective, cleaning every column and running 20 plots? The objective comes first. And answer 4, when you're trying to predict the 30-day churn, what is the output variable? Is it 10-year days on day 1, churned in 30 days or region? The answer is churned in 30 days. And answer 5, best artifact after an EDA, a dashboard gallery, one-page markdown brief, or raw notebook? The answer is a one-page brief is the best artifact after an EDA. So that was the quiz. If you scored a 5 on 5, you're ready. You're ready to be the expert data analyst yourself. If you scored between 3 to 4 and 4 or 5, just use the checklist next. And if you scored between 0 to 2 out of 5. 3 to 4 if you scored, then just use the checklist. And 0 to 2 if you scored. Don't worry. The checklist will help a lot. Alright, so discussion time. I want to just like do a little discussion with you. And this is a discussion that will be held in my Substack. So basically Substack is, if you're not familiar with Substack, it's one of the great content creating websites. It gives content creators a platform to be heard through Primarily, I would say their written content. Yeah, sure, you get like a lot of audio and video podcast hosts or whatever. But I think primarily what I've seen, what works a lot on Substack is written text. So that's a good platform for that. A lot of creators are getting their voices heard on Substack. But anyway, I wanted to also invite a discussion on Substack. So here's what I want to discuss about. I want to hear your story and your process. Let's say you joined that new company, your new team, and on day two or day three, maybe week one for that matter, you were asked to look at data set. And, you know, they just asked you like, you know, tell me, this is a messy data, what will you come up with? That is a lot of stress. Because you're trying to make a new, you know, an impression on this team that you want to be like on top, right? Like you want to make a great impression. You want to feel that they made a good choice in hiring you for their team. So that's why I say day two data set horror story. So yeah, just I want to hear your story in this. How do you handle a situation like this? The other thing I wanted to share, wanted to discuss is what is one metric that you would move in 30 days, in your first 30 days, and why? Which metric you would move and why? And the third thing, the 5 to 8 columns that you would start with right now. So let's just say you're looking at maybe a churn data set. What would be 5 to 8 columns that you'd want to look at right now? Anything. What is your day two data set horror story? What is one metric that you would move in your first 30 days and also in 30 days in general? And why would you move that? And third, what are the 5 to 8 columns that you would start with right now? And an example here could be anything that you would want to talk about your organization or anything that you are passionate about with this 5 to 8 columns. I would definitely appreciate like if you would also add a comment in this discussion with an okay to read, like a comment in quotes saying okay to read. If I can feature your reply the next episode, or even anonymous if you prefer, right? I read every comment. So join the discussion and I'll link the discussion in the show notes. Right, so that was a discussion that I wanted to have. Now, I wanted to give a quick walkthrough of how an app would work like this. So let's just say that you're talking about a subscription app. That's a scenario. The objective type is reduce the 30-day churn for monthly plan users by 15%. The focus columns, the columns you want to focus on would be plan type, a sign-up channel, tenure days, region, device, discount applied, and support tickets, which is number of support tickets, and first week activity rate. So here are some of the questions the tool generates with and why. But let me just go over the columns again and maybe the scenario. So the scenario is, let's say you want to build a subscription app, right? And this could be, let's say you're working for a subscription-based company and their primary revenue is coming from subscriptions. For example, you can take your Netflix or whatever, they're subscription-based and you want to, your objective for them is you want to reduce 30-day churn for them. For monthly plan users by 15%, right? So that would be an objective. And the columns you want to focus on is plan type, sign up channel. How did they sign up on really? Like what is the plan type? Is it a basic plan or whatever? Tenure days, how many days they've been a subscriber? Which region, where in the world are they from? Which device are they sign up on or which device are they using? So to watch the shows. In this case, and if they had any discount applied. So where I, in the United States at least, I don't think Netflix has any discount anymore. But that being said, like, you know, it could be there anywhere else in the world. So discount applied is another column here. And support tickets is number of support tickets. That may be this user has created, this user has requested, right? Or in the first week activity rate, like they started using it, and you know, for what is how much time they've been watching it on the in the first week. So this is, I'm just giving Netflix as an example, but whatever, right? Could be any kind of subscription app. The objective really is to reduce the 30-day churn for monthly plan users by about 15%. So now let's look at some of the questions that the tool helps generate with the why. The questions it came up with was, are churn rates higher for paid social versus organic search? And the why is because it's a customer acquisition cost or a CAC payback risk, right? Because organic search, you're not really losing any money. Paid social, you're paying for that, the visibility. So if a consumer who's joined in through organic search and you're losing that customer quick versus you're losing that customer who joined in through paid social, quick, so that's a problem. Like, I mean, if you're losing more in paid social versus on organic search, then your paid social strategy is clearly not working. So that's going to be a big problem on your CAC. Customer acquisition cost will just rise higher, right? Customer acquisition cost is one thing, but I think what you're going to...
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Face, especially here in this case that I'm thinking about it, is, well, you spend this money, now you want to make money from this customer, so like a payback, so to speak. So that would affect the payback that you get from the customer, because, well, their return is low. So that is one question. The second question is, do sign up discounts lead to lower first week activity and a higher churn? The why is a habit formation. So let's think about this question, right? So let's just say you joined the streaming company. Does the sign-up discount that you got lead to a lower first week activity and higher churn? So if they received a discount while joining, did they get, did they churn more? So if they got 40% discount versus maybe 0% discount, did the 40% discount person churn more than the 0% discount? Probably, because the person who's paid more wants to stay and may try to make his money's worth, right? Or, yeah, and obviously they probably engage with the app as well less. I think usually that kind of behavior I engage with, right? If I pay more, I'm inclined to stay more because, well, I want to get my money's worth. So that is more of a habit formation thing. That's what the AI comes up with. Third question, do week two escalations predict churn? So this customer has been there on in week two. They try to do a lot of support ticket escalations. Does that help predict churn? So they create a lot of support tickets. And if those tickets have been escalated, does that mean that they are going to churn? Why? Because the early customers, they are early experience pain. So that they want to try to avoid. So that was the third question. Now the fourth question is any region and device combos with short tenure. So you want to see if maybe people from Northeast United States, for example, are they using mobile more? But they also stay on the platform less. They use the streaming device very less, right? The streaming subscription very less. So that's something you'd want to see. So why? The why behind this is there's a user interface parity or localization, right? Is it getting skewed in one area or not? Is the geographic area playing a part? That's what you want to see here. And so another question it came up with was, is the churn non-linear versus the first week activity? So let's just say, you know, you're trying to churn, right? Is it, you know, at all proportional with how much you're interacting in the first week? So is the first week activity depending on, I mean, is the first week activity affecting churn? Like the more you interact, meaning the less you churn or something like that, right? Or is it not related as much? Not related alone with the first week activity. So maybe it's related, but like not in a linear way, you know. So this will help you. The why here is like an activation threshold. So you can obviously simplify this language and everything, but that's how the kind of questions the tool will help you generate. And it will give you some data health notes also. It will give you negative tenured days, inconsistent region labels, and 12% missing data, missing discount applied. So this is more on the data health check for, maybe you can think of it like data consistency, or you know, you want to have some consistent data. So if you see some tenure days with a negative, it means something is up, right? You wouldn't expect days to be negative. Or if the region labels where the person is from, you'd not want to see different spellings, for example, different labels. So that is affecting something. And the other thing is discount applied. If there's any missing data or something, that is what it is telling you. And then finally, an export of one page brief into paste into Slack and align the team. So these are the three steps for that export. So here are some choices the product and engineering can make. Put the objective first, focus second, and then the questions come in. So business objective goes first. What do you want to focus on columns wise and stuff? And then what questions you want to ask? Then pre-compute small statistics so that the model reasons more and, you know, rummages less. So what does rummage mean really? It means that it's not going systematically, right? So you want the model to go systematically. So you want it to reason more. So small statistic needs to be computed, but also monitor these guardrails. Guardrails are like, you know, one thing's going up, you don't want other things to go down and stuff. So guardrail is one thing's going up, you don't want other things going down. So guardrail is like your metrics like churn, bounce rate. So any kind of leakage is there, or data leakage or messy labels are there. Those should be, you know, addressed. Keep the copies simple and reduce any blank box anxiety with examples. So what does this mean? People freeze basically when they, let's look at what does keep copy simple mean. So when you're writing the text, the users see that the, you know, which includes labels, instructions, button or button text, don't get clever or verbose. Instead of articulate your analytical objective here, just say, what's your goal? What do you want to find out? Right? Just simple words. Less thinking, and it's a smoother flow. So that's simple copy. And blank box anxiety means like people freeze when they see a blank input field with no guidance. So example here would be if the tool asks what's your objective and leaves a giant empty box, a user might not know what to type. This is called blank box anxiety. The stress basically of starting from nothing. And with examples here means, so you remove that anxiety by showing an example or two right in the box or next to it. Yeah, some example placeholders. Example, it would be explain the dip in the week of 7:06 to 7:12. Right? That was a week. Or explain like a March sales dip or something. That, or it could be find churn drivers for monthly plan. Now, basically the user sees how to phrase their input and they can just copy the style. To summarize, it basically means use short and plain words in your UI copy. And whenever you ask users to type something into a box, show them an example so that they don't freeze up. Always prompt them so they're not left guessing. And to now go over guardrails, what it means is like when you're building or using an AI EDA helper, like an exploratory data analysis helper for AI, you don't want it to silently accept everything. You want it to flag potential issues that it sees in a data set, but in a friendly guiding way, but not in a scary error message. Here are some two common issues, right? One is on the leakage side. That could mean that the data that cheats by including information, you wouldn't realistically know at the prediction time. So example here is, let's say you're trying to predict churn at a sign up, right? But your data set includes a column called churn in 30 days. That's leakage. It gives away the answer. The guardrail is really to the tool can warn with a warning heads up. Column churned in 30 days looks like an outcome variable. Using it might cause leakage. So that's what is a leakage, right? You don't want your output variable to be essentially included in the input, which is called leakage, which would mean your data set is overtrained or overfitted in machine learning terms. Now, messy labels is the other thing which happens. Definition here would be, let's just say your categorical values that are inconsistent, redundant, or even unclear. So example, let's take a region column with values of US, let's say you have a region column with values US, and then another one with U.S. dot, and then another one with USA, and another one with North America, and all are mixed together, right? The tool can say as a guardrail, notice region has overlapping categories US, U.S. dot, and USA. You may want to clean this. And it will give you like friendly tips, right, like that. So if the tool says error invalid data, that's a very vague message and users can freeze about it. They'll be like, what does that invalid data mean, right? And users can just give helpful tips, be helpful, right? Or if it says quick tip, you might want to check X. Users might feel supported instead of judged. You might want to check column X or value X in the column or whatever. Quick tip. That's very nice way to say it. Basically, the tone matters. Small emojis or short wording. Let your AI be your friend. So there should be no jargon, really. So what this essentially means is like, you know, you're building soft guardrails into the tool that gently warns users about common pitfalls like leakage or messy category labels without breaking their flow. Now, I just wanted to again reiterate about this other point about pre-computing small stats so that the model reasons more and rummages less. So this one's about helping the AI spend its brain power wisely. So let's break it down. So problem is when you don't pre-compute, if you just throw the raw data set into a model and say, ask 10 smart EDA questions, the model has to parse every column from scratch. It may miss obvious things like columns which are numeric versus categorical, and it wastes tokens and time. AI tokens and obviously time to rummage the data, so to speak, through the raw CSV. It sometimes gives generic or irrelevant questions. And rummages means like it goes about in a messy way. Very generic or irrelevant questions. So you don't want that to happen. It's like asking a human analyst to read a 500-page log file line by line instead of giving them a one-page summary first. So give some context. Context is very important, essentially. Right? One-page summary is essentially a context. And I'll talk about context engineering in another episode, but brief thing is just like to give context, right? If you want somebody to do the job correctly, help them understand what they're trying to do. Here's a simple fix to pre-compute small stats. Before asking your model to generate questions, you or your app should run a quick pandas summary, right? For each column, compute things like type numeric, categorical text date, count of unique values, percent missing values. So get a count of unique values, see how much percentage of missing values are there, what are the data types are there, What is the mean, median, and standard deviation for the numeric columns? You can use a lot of pandas functions available. So I think describe or something does it. And info will give you the type. Or a pandas profiling report also is another library which will give you all these answers. And in this and there's a couple of other ones like top three most common values for categoricals or a min-max state for time columns. So instead of dumping the full CSV, you give the model this compact cheat sheet. And I'll link, and I'll give you that in the show notes as well. Why it helps is because basically the model can reason about the data and plan type. It would be like, plan type only has three categories. Maybe I can compare churn across them. So this kind of context will enable the model to think smarter. Right? It'll say like, oh, I only have three categories in the plan type. Maybe I can compare churn. So it doesn't really waste tokens or hallucinate, right? AI models are known to hallucinate a lot. So you don't want to waste your AI tokens there. And because AI tokens is obviously very expensive. So just use it wisely. Let it come up with smarter questions. Let it say, maybe this is a text column. Basically what happens in this case is output gets sharper, faster and cheaper. So essentially this whole thing means like you'd want to do a lightweight summary of the data set first. Then pass that summary to AI. That way the AI spends more energy on reasoning and less on digging through raw rows. So this is essentially like a message for product and engineering. And finally, one last message for product and engineering is nothing leaves your session unless you opt in. So what does that mean? Here's the concern, right? It's a trust signal line. Here's what it means in plain words. The concern is basically when people upload a dataset into your AI and EDA tool, they immediately wonder, is this being stored somewhere? Is my client's data safe? Will this end up training someone's model? That's a very valid concern. So you need to make sure that you are not opted in if you don't want to share your data. So there's a way to check that in, you know, different tools. In ChatGPT is pretty easy to do that. And people have very valid reasons to have this kind of privacy concerns, what we call as a privacy anxiety. You don't want the data to be used by other people because maybe it's confidential. You don't want to end up training someone's model, obviously. Is this being stored somewhere? So that are very valid concerns, right? So just make sure you're not opted in. Here's something you can watch out for is you can calm that by setting like a clear privacy boundary. By default, all your processing happens locally or within the active session. But when the user closes the tab, the data is gone. Nothing is logged, saved, or even reused unless the user chooses to export, save, or share that. Here's how I would frame the copy. So that in app or in notes, this is how it would go. So your file is processed only inside your session. Nothing leaves or nothing is stored. This is a more privacy-first approach where if you want to save or share your results, that's only opting in. So to summarize, here's what my message to product and engineering is. And I'll start with the last one first. Your tool won't quietly send data to your servers, store logs or retrain models with their data. Users will stay in control because sharing is a choice and it's not the default. Building soft guardrails into the tool that gently warn users about common pitfalls like leakage or messy category labels without breaking their flow. So build those guardrails into the tool that warns users about pitfalls like leakage or messy category labels, right? Be supportive about it as well. Next point, use short and plain words in your user interface copy. And whenever you ask users to type something into a box, show them an example of how to do it so that they don't freeze up. You want to make everything easy. And finally, put your objective first, focus second, and then question. So that's really the first point here. Objective first, focus second, and questions last. Here's the numbers I track which are, you know, more useful than cool. Percent of sessions with an objective, like 80%, greater than 80% of the target variable, right? Percent of useful questions, time to brief, like ideally under 3 minutes. 7-day return. So more on the habit side, like the user activity side. And the real world use is, this is how I usually try to work with dataset. I prefer using churn also as like a churn rate over a period of 30 days. That's my useful metric. That's why I kept talking about it. Retention over a 3-month window, a 6-month window, a yearly window. These are very common metrics to look at, but these are very useful also. Better than your vanity metrics like followers or subscribers. That's very vanity metrics. And number of users, for example, those are not going to help. User growth is what really helps. And finally, let's come to the listener checklist. I'll be also adding this in the show notes, but here's what I just want to read out first. This is a follow-up to the quiz you listened to earlier. So let's go with this checklist here. This is the third key item I wanted to discuss. First, you write the objective in one line. Like example would be reduce X by Y in Z time frame for whatever the segment is. Pick 5 to 8 focus columns or accept the tools hints. Generate 10 questions plus one line of why it matters. So this is like a prompt you are using essentially. 4 run quick data health checks, nulls, odd values, naming. Export a 1-page markdown brief. Number 5. Number 6, share it in Slack, Notion, Jira, and tag owners. Number 7, run 2 to 3 quick analysis today, not 10. Log what you learned, plus the next decision. 9, repeat tomorrow with tighter focus. And tell me which step saved you the most time in the Substack comments. Right, so I'll list this checklist in the show notes you can have it. All you need to do is just don't overthink it. Just run through these 9 steps and you'll move faster than 90% of people who dropped into a data set. Right? I'd love to hear from you which step actually saved you the most time. So again, just drop your answer in the comments section. I'll link the thread for you in Substack and I read them all, like I said. I'll share a few next week if you'd want, so we can all learn from each other. So what to steal from this show, and maybe think of it like an action plan for you. Points. Start every analysis with a decision, limiting yourself to 5 to 8 columns. Always ship a 1-page brief. Track usefulness and not vanity metrics. And finally, make the first 90 seconds feel like progress. All right. Before you go, just wanted to let you know that I record with Riverside. I'm an affiliate partner, Riverside. They helped, me record this episode and they have amazing audio quality. So that's something I just wanted to recommend if you're ever, deciding to do your own podcast. This is a great platform to record because their editing features are amazing. Their AI editing is, I think, next level. Helps you remove all awkward pauses and gives your sound a strong voice. It gives you a strong voice. So I would highly recommend Riverside as the reason why I chose to be an affiliate partner, because I actually use the product and I love it. So link to join their platform is in the show notes. And again, I'm an affiliate partner. So if you make any purchase, I may make a small commission from it. I also host on RSS.com. Also, I'm an affiliate partner of RSS because they have an amazing distribution channel. They are able to publish your episodes from RSS into Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, Deezer, Pandora, iHeartRadio, and even lets you publish your episode with one button into YouTube as well. So, did I forget to mention that you can start making money by hosting on RSS.com, even if you have just 10 downloads a month. So that's all you need to make money, 10 downloads a month. It's a new feature they started and it's amazing. So again, link to join RSS.com will be in the show notes. I'm also using Cider.ai to help with my research. So if you are interested in any research for your content or for in general, you want to learn about anything, want to read research papers or any kind of thing to improve your knowledge, Cider.ai is your platform to use. So again, I'm an affiliate partner, and I'd love if you're able to support the show by clicking on my affiliate link and joining Cider.ai. So that's all I have, but take the quiz, drop your story in the Substack comments, grab the checklist, share this with your friend, with that one friend who's drowning in CSVs or Excels. Show notes have everything. Substack discussion link is also included, and a thread is also there for you to join on Substack. So see you next week. Thanks again. And this is Mukundan from the Data and AI with Mukundan show. Hey, it's Mukundan. If this episode helped you, two tiny favors that make a huge difference. Rate the show 5 stars. On Spotify, you can just open the show page and tap the star button. On Apple Podcasts, scroll to the bottom of the show page and tap 5 stars. Also, leave a 1-2-line review on Apple Podcasts. Tell me one takeaway or which checklist step saved you time. I read every single one, and it helps more people find the show. Thank you. Your rating and review genuinely helped this reach the next analyst who's staring at a messy CSV. See you next week.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.